Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We're going to be continuing today in our studies here in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4. And we've been looking at verse number 17, which says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So as we've been studying the issues of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, which speak of the catching out of the saints, the event that's known as the rapture, we've been looking at many of the details that the Apostle Paul lays out here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And we've come down to the end of this verse talking about how the Apostle Paul identifies where it is that we are going to be and who it is that we will be with for all of eternity when he says, "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." And so you see how that issue of, as the Apostle Paul saying ever, well, that's really some of the things that we kind of left off with last time, looking at the idea of how the idea of ever speaking of the things of eternity, how the Apostle Paul's making it clear that the members of the body of Christ are going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ for all of eternity. And that's where he's ending this when he says, "So shall we ever be with the Lord." So how the Apostle Paul is making this reference to the issue of that we are going to be with him in the heavenly places for all of eternity, which is also really demonstrating an issue of who God is by the fact that the scriptures also talk about the fact that not only will the Lord Jesus Christ be in the heavenly places for all of eternity, but that he's going to be ruling and reigning here on the earth at the exact same time. So if we go over, for example, let's go to 1 Kings chapter number 8. And we're going to see how in the Old Testament that there's a reference here in the book of 1 Kings in chapter number 8 here. And we're going to read verse number 27 here of 1 Kings chapter number 8, which says, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have built." Now, here we have Solomon as he's in the process of building the temple. Now, this is the temple that originally David, his father, had wanted to build. God had told David that he would not be the one building it, that it was going to be his son Solomon that was going to be building the temple. And how is Solomon is describing the building of this temple, that he's identifying the fact that it's going to be God dwelling on the earth. And when he's talking about God here in the book of Kings, that would be speaking of God the Father. Let's turn over to the book of Matthew. So we're going to look at the very end of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 28 here. And here in Matthew chapter 28, we're going to read the very last verse of the chapter. It says in verse 20, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So now you have, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, informing the disciples that he's going to be with them unto the end of the world. Now, these are the same individuals that he had given the instructions when they were asking some questions of him about what had been given unto them. And over in this, since we're here in the book of Matthew, let's turn back a couple chapters here. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter number 19. And this is after you have this discussion where the young man comes and asks about, you know, how he can have the gift of eternal life. So he's asking about salvation, and this is where the Lord Jesus Christ would be giving the answer for what salvation would be at this time here in the book of Matthew, and how it's identified as the fact of, you know, in verse 17, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. So he's instructing this individual that he's going to have to keep the commandments. And they start getting into a discussion about which ones. The young man in verse 20 answers, the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? So he tries to make the argument here that he has followed all of these things of the law from his youth. So saying, I've done all this. What is it that I lack? Then you have the answer that's being given here in verse 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, this is one of those instructions that the individuals who'd be trying to follow that idea of what would Jesus do, or trying to follow the red letters of the Bible, this is a passage that they tend to try to leave out because they don't like the instructions here. Or they'll start just saying things. Well, he said it, but he didn't really mean it. He was being sarcastic. He was joking with them because he knew that this guy wouldn't do it, so he was just pushing him away. All of these different answers to try to explain away the issue of that this clear instruction by the Lord Jesus Christ, an instruction that you see in the early Acts period. When you read Acts chapter 2, you read Acts chapter 4, you read Acts chapter number 5, you see that they're following these instructions in order to be part of the kingdom, to be have that salvation. This is a completely different salvation message than what the Apostle Paul has given to us today in this dispensation. When we read our gospel, which says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the first four verses of the chapter. This is the gospel message which has been given unto us. We see very clearly in Scripture that there are different gospels which are given to different individuals in different dispensations, and how you have to know and understand what the truth is that's been given to individuals. Now, as we continue to look at this back here in Matthew chapter number 19, you see that the individual walks away after he heard this because he didn't want to, you know, part with his possessions. Then you have a discussion that comes up here. We're going to pick up in verse 25 of Matthew 19, which says, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So, we saw back in 1 Kings the issue of how it spoke about God the Father dwelling on the earth in the temple. Here in Matthew chapter number 19, we see how it speaks of the fact that he's going to be sitting on his throne, and how the 12 apostles are going to be sitting on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and how he said that he's going to be with them unto the end. He makes it clear he's going to be with them here on the earth, just like we are going to be with him in the heavenly places. He's going to be ruling over both programs, both the heaven and the earth, when they are fully reconciled unto God. And that's the description you start seeing, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, that talks about how he's going to have dominion over both of those things. You see how in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, in verse 1, he says, talks about his appearing and his kingdom, making a reference to both of those programs, so that way individuals can have the understanding that he's going to be reigning in both places. And only God can actually do that, because only God can be in multiple places at the same time. And let's turn over to Psalm 139. And we're just going to see how the book of Psalms here is going to be making a reference. And this is a Psalm of David that's written here. And it's going to be speaking about something related to the Spirit. We're going to read from verse 7 down through verse number 10. It says, whither shall I go from thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Now, again, as David is speaking and he's talking to God the Father, you see how he's making a reference to the fact that there was nowhere that he could go that he would be separate from the Spirit. So, from just these few passages that we've looked at, we see how the entire Godhead is going to be part of this process, and how Paul makes it clear that we're going to be with the Lord. That's why he says some of the things that he does. For example, let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 1, to where he describes thing. It talks about it being our inheritance that we have. And here in Ephesians chapter number 1, we're going to start here in verse number 16, and we're going to read down through verse number 23, the end of chapter number 1. It says, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the riches, the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Now, as we start reading this passage, you know, we see how in verse number 18 of Ephesians 1, when it starts talking about the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So just as we, the members of the body of Christ, that we have an inheritance in him, and that's, we see that, for example, in verse 13 and 14, talking about the seal that we have when it says, "In whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." So the scriptures make it clear that we have an inheritance, but it also makes it clear that in verse 18, when it says the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And that could be a very difficult thing for us to kind of process and understand, related to the fact that the scriptures are saying that he has an inheritance in us, just as we have an inheritance in him. Because, you know, we would think that, you know, and just using kind of the natural way of how we would think about things, that there would be no way that God would have any sort of an inheritance in us. But yet the Apostle Paul, writing in the book of Ephesians, is making it clear that he has an inheritance, and that inheritance is in us. And then as he continues on in this passage, he's defining what that inheritance actually is. Because in verse 20, it's talking about that the Lord Jesus Christ is set at the right hand of God the Father in the heavenly places. So he has that position of authority, ruling and reigning. Then you see how in verse 21 that the Apostle Paul starts listing out these things, the principality, the power, the might, the dominion, the every name that is named. And when you start reading, you know, for example, this passage, you combine it with Colossians chapter number 1, you combine it with Ephesians chapter number 6, you start seeing how there's these different positions that are in the heavenly places that are being made a reference to. And it says that the Lord Jesus Christ is far above these things. So his position of rulership is above all of these different things. Then in verse 22, as it says, hath put all things under his feet, and those all things are the reference to what's listed in verse 21. Then it says, and gave him to be the head over all things. So he has that headship, that authority over the all things. And again, that same all things is a reference to the things listed in verse 21. And then it says, to the church. So speaking about us, then it says, which is his body. So it makes it very clear who is being spoken of, because we are the church, the body of Christ. Then it says, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So we, as the members of the body of Christ, when it talks about that we are going to be with him, being with him means that we're going to be filling these positions. Because that's what the Apostle Paul is speaking about here, of how he's the head over all these things. He's given the authority over it to us, who's the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That we are going to have these positions. That's why you see that discussion that the Apostle Paul gets into in 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And we're going to read here starting at verse number 11. It says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. And we've talked about this passage several times as we've been studying through the book of 1 Thessalonians. It's talking about how, you know, verse 11 is talking about the identity that we have once we believe the gospel, that we've been identified with his death, burial, and resurrection. So it says, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. That's who we are. Verse 13 speaks about that guarantee of our salvation. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot not deny himself. So even if we walk away from the truth of God's word and the understanding that we have and the functioning that we're supposed to have, he's going to remain faithful. So we see how we've had the justification, we have the idea of the promise of the glorification that we are having in all this. And you see how verse 12 is going to be talking about some things related to the sanctification process, because we have an issue of suffering and denying. So talking about it from that practical sanctification standpoint, if we're following the doctrine that's been given to us, and we are suffering with him, because suffering is going to be part of following that doctrine, then we're going to reign with him. If we deny him, if we deny that suffering, and we deny that suffering because we make that decision of that we are going to, you know, do things our own way, we're going to stay, you know, true to just our flesh, we're not going to stay true to what the Word of God actually says, that instead of having that position to reign with him, he's going to deny us. And that's where the whole issue of the judgment seat of Christ actually comes in. And this is why you start seeing those things of the danger when individuals are starting to deny the issue of the judgment seat of Christ and saying that it doesn't apply to the members of the body of Christ, that they start taking away the things of the hope, which eventually leads to them saying that the catching out of the saints, what we've been studying, doesn't apply. And so what they're taking away is what we're going to see in the very next verse of where we're going to pick up with next week, when the Apostle Paul says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Because the whole issue of the catching out of the saints, it is a comfort for us to know that that's the reality that we have. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some charts to help you in your study of God's Word. We have information how to join our Sunday service and Wednesday night Bible study live as they're being broadcast on Facebook. We have information how to join us live on Sunday mornings if you happen to be in the Buffalo area. 83 Anderson Road in Cheektowaga, New York. We meet at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything on our website, anything in our broadcast, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.